Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hellman, and I do thank you very much for listening to AIR. Tonight, I am really excited to have two of my favorite new people in the life from Romania. And it's I want to apologize if I mess up your names. I really apologize. Alexandria Malamai and Dan Bendick. They are wonderful healers, channelers, awesome people that I found from spiritlibrary.com. I am so excited. I'm nervous. Both of them have just resonated with me in such a way with the message that they're giving. Their website is joyandclarity.com. They have a channel and a blog on there that is very worth checking out. I want to get right to them and kind of let them talk about themselves and where they're coming from and how these beautiful people actually met, seeing how Dan is from Texas. So, you know, it's just like the world is really small and it's beautiful. So how did you guys tell a little bit about yourself? It's just, there's so much information that I wanted to cover, and it's just, I just appreciate you guys so much for being on the show. I've been trying to get you guys on the air for over a year, and we finally were able to get it together. So, Alexandria and Dan, welcome very much. I thank you so much for being on. So let's start with Alexandria.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Now, you are an empath and a conscious channeler of angelic beings and spirit guides.
Yes.
You've known this since you were a kid?
Yes and no.
You had a sense, but you didn't really know what was going on. Then all of a sudden, you got a clue?
I did find out as a child that I had disabilities, but as an adult, I developed them more and have finally realized what it is that I'm actually doing, that I'm a conscious channeler and that I communicate with beings from the other side of the veil. Yeah. I'm nervous.
Yes.
As you can feel, I guess you're not the only one nervous here.
Well, it's like as we're trying to get things going, I felt the nervous energy, and it's like, okay, I know I'm going to suck this in, but that's okay. So let's go over to Dan real quick. Dan,
sure.
You're originally from Texas.
I'm still from Texas.
But you kind of live somewhere else.
I do.
How did your conscious spiritual path get started?
Well, I've always, I think, had an inclination toward spirituality. I think I really first noticed it as an adolescent. My mother was an English teacher, and she's an avid reader, and I would sort of sneak into the bookshelves and look for things there. And when I was an adolescent in junior high, I began to discover all these Edgar Cayce books that she had. Edgar Cayce was known of as a sleeping prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a trance channeler, I think really active in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, if I remember right. But I was fascinated by the subjects that he talked about. There was the life of Jesus, reincarnation, karma, Atlantis, just anything and everything that you don't normally hear about as a kid growing up in Texas when I was a kid. So that's how it started for me.
Now, let me ask you a question about your mother.
Sure.
How did she get interested in all of this?
Being,
being from Texas, and during that time frame, it was kind of like segregation and very, you don't do anything out of the norm.
Yeah. Well, I would say she was a bit progressive for mm-hmm. her generation. She was raised as a Presbyterian, pretty conventional and traditional, but she's been very curious about things. She feels very close to Jesus, to Yeshua. Mm-hmm. But I'm inferring here a little bit, but I think she felt that there was much more to the life of this person and to the life of human beings in general than conventional religion was offering. And so she followed her curiosity and began to pursue those interests. And I guess I picked up on it as I was growing up.
Mm-hmm. Now, with Alexandra, were your family very open-minded about spirituality and being open to the other side talking and having that intuitive gift?
In a way, yes, because in the traditional religion in Romania, there's main religions in the country like Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox, and the Catholic, the Greek Catholic and the Roman Catholic. But besides these religious practices, there's still a way of keeping the traditions alive and the old folk wisdom. And that was a way that was passed on through the religion also in certain parts of the country. And in that way, communicating with the angels is accepted by many people. It's just who is doing it is not accepted by everyone. If you're a priest, it's very much likely that you can have the communication, or as a monk mm-hmm. or a nun, but not that much if you're a normal person. It's very unusual. Or if people accept you to be kind of a healer, that is widely popular in the country, that has done some miracles, then they can accept that you have contact with the other world. Mm-hmm. With God, with Jesus, with angelic beings. My parents have, I guess they didn't know my gifts and my special abilities, because I struggled with this for many years as a child to understand what am I actually doing? Why do I have visions of Yeshua and my Mother Mary? Why I was able to talk to them, and when I would speak to my friends, they would look puzzled to me. Mm-hmm. And for a while, I didn't speak to my parents about this, but I just accepted it as it was, and I was glad to have them in my life as guidance to go through life. I think that's, in a way, they were open-minded, because I was actually able to experience this through the religion that they were part of, but also it was a bit difficult for them to understand that I was so sensitive.
Right. And in my family, they just said I had an overactive imagination.
Yeah.
That's how they explained it. So everybody has their way to cope. So you both, how did you guys meet? I mean, you guys, I know that Dan was traveling around the country on spiritual adventures. And you did this through people that you met through the internet. And you traveled with them, and you went to Romania. And how did you cross this beautiful lady's path? Or did she cross yours?
It was I guess you'd say fated.
Divine timing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had been living and working in Mexico for about 9 years. And had come back to the United States briefly for a couple of years to work and to see my family. But what I really had wanted to do was something really big. And the really big thing that I felt like I had to do was travel around the world. I just really felt compelled to do that. And I also wanted to get involved in writing. I just felt the need to write, and not write for others, but write for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I'd been following my own spiritual practices and interests for many, many, many years. And at that time, it had led me to find some folks on some spiritual internet forum sites. And on one of those, I not only knew about Alexandra being there, I met many other people too. And at one point, I sort of became very dissatisfied with the job that I had, and I just decided it's time to go. So I posted an announcement on this forum site, and I said, I'm getting ready to travel around the world. Invite me to your home, and I will come. And it sort of miraculously, people started answering back and saying, the key's in the door. Come. And within about two weeks, I had 150 offers from people around the world to come stay with them. I said, I'll come visit you. We'll go do fun things, and I'll write about it on the internet and share it with other people. And they said, great. You know?
Wow.
So I did that. I left just after Christmas in 2006, and I traveled for about a year. And about halfway through my trip, I was getting very, very tired, and I needed a break. And I wasn't sure I was going to be able to come to Romania. I wanted to, but it just didn't seem like it was going to work out. But then at the last minute, my contact, the person I was going to stay with in southern Italy, wasn't able to accept me in her home at the time. So I contacted Alexandra and I said, I need to take a break. I'd like to come to Romania and spend some time with you, and also stay a little bit longer so I can rest. And she said, sure. And so I showed up, and I stayed for about 3 weeks. And in those 3 weeks, we just, you know, we knew we were supposed to be together. And so she traveled with me. I invited her to finish the trip with me. And we traveled for about 3 or 4 months in Europe. We came back here. We stayed together, and we got married about a year ago. And
wow.
Now we're doing this Joy and Clarity work together.
And speaking of, congratulations.
Thank you.
What is Joy and Clarity?
Well,
what are you trying to get across with this?
At Joy and Clarity, the two of us, we use the abilities that we have, these empathic abilities that we were talking about, the channeling that we are able to do, plus other creative gifts that we have, like the writing and painting or music in other situations. We use it to help people and assist them in to expand their awareness. And in doing that, we basically do something that has been done in many esoteric and other spiritual works that people do. We work with the people with people's two main questions. Who am I really, and why am I here? This is the basic of what we do.
Yeah, we basically feel that people who are spiritually sensitive, at some point through events in their lives or circumstances or direct inquiry, they come to those real basic questions: who am I and what am I doing here? And the work that we've been doing, especially the channeled work with Saint Germain and with Yeshua especially, really goes and looks at those questions, and we hope that what we present in collaboration with them is truth in as simple and clear a form as possible that opens the door to a heartfelt and intuitive connection with who we really are. And who we really are is divine. We are divinity. We are divinity incarnate. And one of the real clear messages that comes through that we get frequently in these channels and we publish is that you are a child of God, and God also. This is the truth about you. God lives in you, mm-hmm. as your innermost self. So that's a real important message that comes through a lot of the stuff that we do. And then along with that comes a lot of guidance about getting clear about who you are not. And that has led to kind of a simple but clear explanation of what the ego is, how the ego creates confusion about our identities and basically distracts us so that we don't remember our divinity. Once we remember our divinity, we get this clarity and our lives can come back on track. The confusing things that we think we are can disentangle themselves. We don't have to work so hard at it. We just need to remember to be clear about the truth about who we really are.
Now, can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
Okay. Now, you know that you are divinity, but you have these things distracting you. The ego tries to throw you off. And at times, and I will admit, I have been thrown by this, but now it's like I always call them the trickster.
Yeah.
But some people have trouble discerning the seduction, and I do think it is a seduction of the ego side or the false yous, the false people that are personas that are really acting as if they're in your best interest and they're throwing you way off. Can you give some suggestions on how to know it's really the divinity and truly spirit and your truest sense coming through and not the ego?
I'm going to answer first, and then I'll pass it to Alex. I'm going to give my perspective on that. In practice, it can feel like a big challenge, and it can be a complicated experience. But the guidelines are simple. And the way to learn and practice discerning that is to take any of those situations that seem confusing or confrontational or challenging, and step back, take part of yourself and step back and look at it and say, when I'm considering this and I'm hearing the words in my head telling me how to deal with this situation about who I am and what I ought to do, do those words, when you distill them down to their essence, do they speak to me with words of love? Or do they speak to me words of fear? Do they make me afraid of who I am if I do this or if I do that or if I don't do this or I don't do that? Or do those words give me a sense of self-acceptance, love, wholeness, and integrity? It's just the difference between love and fear. Everything boils down to choosing love or choosing fear. And the guidance that comes through that feels like love is the one to follow. If it sounds like fear, then the thing to do is move into the fear, examine it, name it for what it is, work through it, and see the love that's on the other side that was hiding behind the fear.
And I would add to this that to recognize divinity is to just give yourself the permission to feel that divinity is simple. Divinity is there. And divinity is not something that you can produce in your mind or you can talk with fancy words. It's just something that you feel through your whole being and you recognize yourself as that. You recognize yourself in the deep feeling that you're having in that moment. You don't have to struggle with anything when you have that feeling that you're connected to who you are deeply. When the ego comes in and plays with you, or the different players that the ego has that we call subpersonalities, everything becomes complicated. Everything becomes a struggle. you start questioning yourself. But when the messages come from the divinity, they are simple. You just feel it as a rush of a warm breeze through your body. You just know it. You nothing can question that because you just know it. It's not something that anybody can question in that moment.
Now, something that a lot of people have trouble doing, and I think this is semi-related to knowing if it is the word of love or the word of fear, is really trusting. Do you have any suggestions on, you know, ways of really trusting that warm feeling is, I mean, because people get afraid of it. They get afraid of that feeling that it's like, wait a minute, this feels very strange. Do you have any suggestions on really trusting that it's okay to follow it? Because a lot of people are just afraid to follow anything because they just feel like they can't trust. Well, any suggestion on trusting?
Yes. Through our lives, the majority of us, we have learned not to trust because we have come to believe that we are separated from the source of love and from this warm experience from the divinity that we are. We have learned to believe in the separation, and so we have learned not to trust. And it takes practice. It takes practice to believe again that and in who you are, and to trust that feeling that you receive through your human experiences, that it comes from divinity. It takes practice, and at the beginning it will not be necessarily easy to trust the voice that comes from the God within, from the divinity. But it will be one time, it will be the next time again, and it will come over and over again if we allow it. And with time, all of us and you can start to trust that voice that is from the divinity within you.
Yeah, I was just going to add that, and I think it's a similar, if not identical, thought that part of the reason that we're here on Earth is to experience life, to experience the beauty, the wonder, and the power that we are through our divinity. And one of the things that we have to do while we're here is experience our life and observe what happens as we live it. And that has a lot to do with building trust. When we hear truth and we feel love, it creates a resonance like Alex was talking about. It's like hitting a chime or a bell. In the presence of truth and love, real truth and real love, the human spirit begins to vibrate and resonate, and we feel it. Our minds have learned to censor that to some degree, mm-hmm. but we still feel it. And we can teach ourselves how to be even more aware of that, to trust the intuitive guidance that we feel around those moments, and then observe what happens with our lives afterwards. It may be in a difficult situation when we're praying for or asking for help. We feel that resonance arise within us that lets us know that we're connecting to something bigger than we are as just human beings. And we may feel guided intuitively to take some step or allow some particular thing to happen. And it becomes our responsibility to move through that experience and also observe it and be aware of what happens when we do follow that feeling of love, that sense of truth, and see how our lives change. And we can monitor our own experiences, our own results, our own success with exploring those dimensions. And that's the one and only and most important thing that we have to do. The only thing that really counts, in my opinion, in awakening our spiritual side this direct experience. And I believe that's what many, many wise people, leaders, masters, teachers have taught, that the experience of divinity and spirituality is yours and yours alone for every person. It's direct experience is the only thing that counts. You can't be told that you're God also. You can't learn about your divinity from a book. You can be inspired to experience it, but you have to trust your own direct experience. You mustn't be afraid to experience life and have those direct experiences in contact. And the experience in contact itself is what builds the trust. You feel it, and you know it, and you come to trust it.
Now, with the direct experiences, do you feel that people have, like, agreements to meet certain people as you did? You both seem to have almost, like you said, it was fated, to have certain experiences with them and then move on? Do you understand the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go first, and then I'll let Alex say something. In basic terms, I agree with what you're saying. I think there are many kinds of agreements, synchronicities, alignments that occur. We're guided by loving and benevolent forces greater than we can possibly imagine with our minds. And it can bring together circumstances, situations, people, projects, experiences, anything I think is possible. And that's part of the adventure of living is allowing that to happen as we move through our own individual awakenings too. But I guess I was going to add, I think there's a reason to also be discerning about those things. It's very easy to let those marvelous occurrences and circumstances and happenings become a distraction. For example, in our case, I would say at a certain time in my life, I felt very motivated and desiring to find a soulmate. And at some point that became the object of having a relationship instead of just allowing a relationship that was right for me to come into resonance with the experience of life that I was having. And I met Alexandra basically when I let go of those desires to be brought into contact with a soulmate that had X, Y, and Z, you know, qualities.
Right.
I got to a place where I accepted myself. I felt pretty okay with who I am and what I valued, and I was just open, and it just happened. So that's kind of a long-winded explanation, and I think I'll be quiet now.
Here's Alex. I agree with them. I was having the same experience when we met. I have let go of any desire to have a guy come in my life to be this or that, to fill a certain role that I was expecting from a partner. And only then I was able to meet him. But then we both realized when we looked into each other's eyes, actually from the very first moment, we both realized that we were supposed to meet, and it was a meeting at a deeper level. It was an agreement we had with each other, but it was an agreement that was brought in through the resonance that we both had. We were both sending out the message into the universe, yes, I am ready to accept myself as my own God self and to accept my divinity fully. And with that,
I allow the universe to bring in my life those people that resonate with that feeling inside myself. And that's how we were actually able to meet.
And it's beautiful that, and it's like whenever you're really ready to just be yourself and just take life as it comes, that's when the universe really, in any kind of manifestation, as soon as you let go of the really desire to have it, they turn around and say, okay, you want it now. Go ahead. Here it is. And it's just, you almost are holding so tight that you're not letting the universe bring it to you because you're still holding on to it.
Yeah.
So, and that's one thing that I find that a lot of people don't understand with manifestation. You got to let the universe have it so they can give you what you want.
Yeah. I was just going to add one other thing that kind of reflects back upon this whole message about accepting one's divinity, that you're God, a child of God and God also. As you begin to allow yourself to accept that as a reality, you're plugging into something really powerful. You're plugging into the fact that you are whole and perfect and complete, just as you are. You don't need anyone for anything. And when you realize that you don't need anyone for anything, you have everything that you are to share with someone else. Mm-hmm. You realize that you're whole, and that if you get into a relationship, no one can take anything away from you. You can't be deprived of who you are. And if who you are is perfect and whole and complete because it's divine, then there's no reason to fear being in a relationship. There's every ability to navigate the challenges of a relationship, and there's no need to cling or to manipulate or to become involved in maybe half-conscious dependencies with someone else.
Right.
You stand on your own, and yet because you know you stand on your own, you're very comfortable sharing everything you are with someone else. And it's just as easy to honor that and also to recognize when a relationship has served its purpose and either renew it or release it when that moment arrives.
Now, with the relationship with self, the connection with really the soul, the heart and soul of who you truly are, is a very beautiful but at times tough road to go. And with doing that, you have to make choices. Now, there's some people that have decided not to align with their soul level, and other people that do. Now, what basically do you feel happens to the people that say, no, I don't want to do what my soul does, wants me to do? Do they just go ambling around wherever they want to go? Or do you think the soul says, we'll give you a chance to, you know, have a little fun, but we're going to pull you back in later?
Well, I think for as long as we live in a pretty unconscious life, we pretty much do what we want. and our soul has nothing against that. It's all the time. We are our soul having the human experience here on earth, but the soul will not interfere with the human who has certain desires to experience things as well. But every time we will turn around and we will allow our soul to come in and to be there through us, through the experience that we are having, we basically align our human experience with the choices that our soul has made. And that way, that moment, we are bringing together all of who we are into the human experience, and we have a conscious experience of our life, and it's not bumpy.
Yeah, some of the stuff that we've worked with in these channeled messages from Saint Germain and Yeshua, they'll make the distinction between choosing and deciding. Those words are really synonymous for most of us. A decision and a choice can really be thought of as the same thing, but they use that to help us distinguish between a higher level choice and something that we can do as a human that may or may not be in support of that higher level choice. The soul has purpose and plan that sometimes is apparent to us and other times it's not. We're allowed to co-create and collaborate with the soul in the choices that we make, or I'm sorry, in the decisions that we make in each moment. There's certain times in life when we know we're at a decision point and we feel perhaps motivated to turn inside, to feel some kind of intuitive resonance about what to do, what to decide, what to allow. That's the moment where we're at a juncture or a junction between an opportunity to make a decision in support of a soul's experiential choice or not. And the clues that we're aligned with the soul choice would be feeling joyful inside, feeling at peace, feeling that things are all right with the world and with me in that moment. They're just inner reference points of well-being that we all know and can touch. If, on the other hand, we feel anxious or fearful or agitated or many other things, when that decision point comes, we might want to look at it again because it might be a decision that isn't fully aligned with the soul level choice to move through a particular experience and get the most out of that experience. One of the examples that came up in some of the stuff that we channeled was maybe in a particular lifetime, a soul has come in as a human being to learn about innocence and trust, to experience that. And each at certain moments in that human being's life, there may be opportunities to explore the dimensions of innocence and trust by acting or deciding to be more innocent and trusting in those given moments. Those kinds of decisions would be supporting that soul's choice. Shutting down in fear and perhaps not being willing to trust in those situations for that person would be making a decision that doesn't necessarily support that soul level choice. However, you know, that being said, like Alex mentioned, there's no right or wrong judgment being passed down upon us by our souls, by God, or by divinity if we make a decision contrary to that soul choice. The soul is love, and whatever we choose, or whatever we decide, I'm sorry, whatever we decide as a human being is honored and respected. I'm not sure if that clarifies things or not, but that's sort of my understanding of it. Alex may want to add something else, or you may too, for that matter.
I think you clarified it very clearly. And you had mentioned that we have about 20 minutes left. Did you want to do a brief channeling or continue the discussion?
I think it would be good to do the channeling as to get in touch with everything that we actually spoke about tonight and get quiet and receive the package that we basically put together, all of us who are here, the audience included, you, Jennifer, the two of us, plus the audience and everyone who's listening to this in the whatever moment. There's an energy package that we prepared, and we can get quiet within and receive. And I will do the channeling.
It's all yours.
Thank you. Hello, dear friends. It is indeed I, Saint-Germain, with your friends here, Alexandra and Dan. And I would like to thank our dear host for inviting us here tonight or today, wherever you are, to join in this gathering. I am thrilled to be a part of conversations and moments of deep sharing when you, all of you, come together to feel the love that you, as your God self, and we, as your friends, the angelic friends, are here to share with you. My dear friends, the topic of seeing yourself as God and accepting yourself as God has been a long journey of discovery for so many of you. You may not know it, how exactly you've done it. You may not always understand what is going on with you, with your life. And you just ask, dear God, what happened? What is going on with me? Where am I? Why am I here? There's so many questions that you have. And so many questions that confuse you at times and leave you feeling like you don't know where to go. In this conversation tonight, you have talked about how you may discover ways to find the answers. And they are valid points that were made by everyone here. But I am asking you, each one of you, who is present here, to just listen within. What is your answer to the question you're having? What is it that you're hearing within? Can you stop? Can you pause for a moment to feel and listen? Maybe you hear a voice. Maybe you see an image. Maybe you just have a feeling. Just listen. Be quiet. And feel. There is a message for you, my friend, for each one of you. There is a message from your own divinity. It is a message that is universal for each and all of you. A message of love that is manifested through words, through images, through
song maybe that you're hearing in your head that only you can understand. And it is an answer to the questions and the prayers that you've been having lately about yourself and about your life and what is going on. I invite you to listen to that simple message that you can receive right now in this moment of silence and quiet. Yes, it is a message for you. Although you may not believe it, or you may question it later, you feel it. You know it because you feel something in your heart. And what you feel, it is joy, my dear. It is joy. When you feel joy in your heart, you know that you receive the message from your own divinity, and you know that you are in deep contact. You're basically embracing your soul, your divinity, who you are. Listen to that voice, to that message that comes to you, and then trust it indeed, like our dear Jennifer was saying. Trust it. Trust it because it comes from you, not because it comes from anyone else around you or anyone else who has told you what it is. Trust the message within you because it's a message of love. And then when you feel that message and you know it's a message of love, you will know what to do next. You will know which step to take in your life, what to do with the question that you had. And you will know how to act. But first and foremost, listen. Get quiet. And make a habit of this getting quiet. Do it once or twice a day, if you can do it in the morning or in the evening or when you have a break at your job. Just find a moment to get quiet for 5 minutes each day to listen. Ask your divinity, what is your message for me right now? And listen. Don't inquire anything else. Just let your soul and your divinity talk to you and listen. And it does talk to you. You will be surprised what messages you receive and how the responses to your questions will arise, because you're not expecting it that way. But you will know where it comes from when you feel that little jolt of joy. So trust it, my dear friend. Trust it. One more time, thank you for being here, for being in this moment together and bringing your love in this show, each one of you who is participating here. We thank you for your time, for your presence, and for your love. And we thank Jennifer for having us in this place, in this show. I am Saint-Germain.
Thank you. It is an honor and a pleasure to have Alexandria and Dan. Please check out their website, joyandclarity.com. And until next time, this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, gain new insights and inspirations. Many blessings and good night.